chair there, and the representation of his father is sitting there talking to him, and he's saying, and I don't know what transpired before, you'll have to tell me sometime, but his father is saying, or he's talking to his father, and he's saying to his father, you never told me you love me. And the father says, well, you never told me you love me either. And Mike Baxter, the character, says, I know, but I always thought there would be time. I always thought there'd be time. And there wasn't. Cut me to the core. And I didn't say anything to Dolores, I didn't say anything to Trent, but in my heart, man, it was a little allergy laden in my eyes. I'm just saying there's a little dust in the room. I remember thinking, thank you, God, because we who are the leadership, and I want to say this in the right way. Man, it's been a pleasure, and we love serving. We've been running, right? Leadership guys, we've been running. We have been like, we're out every night. We're doing this. We're doing due diligence, and we're meeting with these associates. People are doing the due diligence, and we've been looking at places, and we're trying to figure out how to do things. And even last Sunday after church, we're over at Panera just sitting and talking. We've been running. And I actually had the question, hey, listen, can you meet this past Thursday? I said, heading to Atlanta with my son, can't do that. And these guys are so good, they didn't say, well, can you cancel that to meet with us? We need to meet. They didn't do that. They changed the meeting instead so that I could be with my son. I'm so grateful for this church. I am. Lady was in a hospital. Nobody said, Brian, you have to come back from Atlanta and you have to be there because you're the man. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for the time with my son. I cannot tell you what it is like to have a son who loves Jesus and is worshiping alongside me. And afterwards, we can talk about what the messages meant to us. Oh, what a gift. Time is fleeting. You only have so much of it. Then it's gone. Yeah, like this little bit, and you don't know. We actually did this the last time we talked about time. We actually took chairs. Do you remember this? We put them in a circle, and we played, or down a back-to-back, and we played musical chairs in the church. And the music stopped. We'd take a chair, and somebody didn't have sit down. Another one, sit down. And the point was, life ends at any point. You don't know when. The music stops. There's not a chair for you, and it's over. And you don't know when it's going to be, but you know it's coming. And that's for all of us. So here's the idea. God is your creator. You should know that. We're in church. You should know that one. He said eternity in your heart. The Bible says that God has said eternity in the hearts of men. And he knows your days and he knows your last day. Now listen, he knows how long you'll live and he knows when you'll die. That does not mean, because we Christians are crazy, it does not mean you're bulletproof until the day you die. Doesn't mean that. Like if you jump off a cliff and go, I'm bulletproof until the day I die, Jesus is like, you big dummy. This is the day you die because you jumped off the cliff. Don't jump off cliffs, right? If all your friends were, don't. He knows your last day, and that doesn't mean he's going to take it from you. It just means he has foreknowledge. Our time here is limited, finite. The older you get, the quicker it goes, too. And he warns. And he says to live in light of the brevity of life. You only got so much time. And this life doesn't last, and he actually warns us. The Bible says, teach us to number our days to know that no matter how much you make your plans, you only have so much time, that we may get a heart of wisdom, that we be wise in how we live. A little over a year ago, a bunch of people at a country concert, somebody decided to mow them down. Every single person who died had plans for the next day, all of them. And you have everyone and everything contending for your time, including your own desires. I mean, that's just the pressure of life, right? I need to be here. I've got to go do this. Man, I just need to relax. I've got to take a vacation. Man, I need. And everything is contending for your time. And you got the people in your life saying, man, I need some time. Listen, you got a certain amount of time. You own exactly none of it. Everything you get, all your hopes and dreams, all your experiences, all that, you own none of it. You came from nothing. There was a time, listen, I don't want to freak you out because I'm going to use the words in the church. There was a time that the egg didn't exist and the sperm that made it into the egg didn't exist. Now, if that freaks you out, did you not go to public school? There was a time that there was, that didn't even, and the idea that that one sperm out of all of them at that one time, at that one moment, made it all the way up into the egg, that the egg was now fertilized, that it actually implanted, that it stayed and it wasn't washed back down, that through that. You actually made it all the way through 9 months. And I'm sure your mom was so happy at the end of that 9 months. Get out. Just get out. And that you were delivered, alive, and healthy, and that you've made it through all of life to make it to this point. Man, what a gift. You come from dust, the Bible says. You go back to dust. And at best, you borrow what you have because it all goes back in the box. And you give an account for what God has entrusted to you. And that's your life. And the things you and I stress so much about mean squat in reference to eternity. Time is a stewardship. Stewardship is this. What it means is you don't own it. You manage it to God's glory. It is a stewardship, and you redeem it to His glory as one who owns nothing and is accountable for all things because He's a true owner. And so God actually says, I want you to use the time this way. It is using it wisely. I've given you free will. You can do whatever the frig you want with it. But here's how I want you to use it. Here's what my desire is. And when you go with His desires, you live. That is your best life. That's what you're supposed to live. And so here's the context. We're going to be in Ephesians 5 for just a bit, and then Colossians either 3 or 4. Here's the context. Paul has just said, it's all going to be revealed. Wake up, O sleeper. Everything is going to be laid bare. God is going, you're going to give an account for all of it. So wake up. And then he's going to say, after this, he's going to say, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We will look at that as well. Look carefully then, because it's all going to be laid there. Look carefully then how you walk. Some versions will say, be careful how you live. How you use your time that you have. Not as unwise, but as wise. And I want you, if you would, just bookmark that in your mind, the idea of wise. Because you'll see this over and over again. The Scripture links wisdom, being wise, to your use of time. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Because the days are evil. Look carefully at me because you're going to give an account. And you've got this little span of time, and then it's over, and you don't even know when it's going to end. Living as wise, not as unwise, making the best use, and he's going to tell us in a minute what that is, of the time. So when he says the days are evil, it's a phrase that means that you got so many things tempting you, so many ways to waste the time that you've been giving, and so many things looking to shorten your time here. You've got all this stuff out there vying for your time, and you feel like it, some of you right now. You're stressed out, man. You're pulled. I got to be here. I got to be there. You're already thinking about what's going on tomorrow. Next week, you got a calendar. It's on your phone. It's telling you when you got to show up. And oh my God, I'm running late. Oh man, if I'm on time, I'm late. Some of you, man, I got to be there. I got to do this. The days are evil. There are a lot of things tempting you to waste the time that God has given you. And so many things looking to shorten your time. And God has strategically, listen, God has strategically placed you where you are in your world, around your circle of influence, to show His glory to a world that desperately needs to see it. Jesus didn't say you need to be light. Jesus didn't say you need to be salt. He said you are light. The only question is it hidden or is the cover off and they can see it? Does it glorify God? He never said you need to be salt. He said you are salt. The only question is what kind? Do you make people thirsty for Him? God has strategically placed you with the limited time you have around people who desperately need to see His glory. And that's why you are where you are. And so the Bible will go on and it will say, therefore do not be foolish. This is the use of time. This is what it's talking about. That's the context. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Did you catch that? Understand what the will of the Lord is. It's this right here. Make the best use of the time. God, what's your will? Use the time I've given you for something more than just you. That's my will. By the way, this is not the best use of time. Ah, Kavanaugh's confirmed. We're doomed. There go all of our rights. We're all going to die. Dude, do you need a coloring book and a safe space? I can help you out. Man, if they can ruin a good man, it's game over for America. Oh my gosh, we're all in trouble. If they can ruin a man like that and take care of it. Absolutely, those things are true. If there is no God and our only hope is in politics. Right? But if we trust a mighty God who is greater than any nation or any person or any Congress or any, we good. Breathe. It's going to be okay. You don't live for this world. And then it goes on, and here's the very next verse. and do not be drunk with wine. Let me stop. Just so you know, because I know somebody in here, I just know you guys, somebody here is going, score! He said nothing about beer. Score! I like liquor. No. The idea is don't be drunk. Back then, that's the way they were. Don't be drunk. For that is debauchery. We'll talk about what that means in just a moment. But be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, you can do the one or the other. Don't be drunk, but instead use the time to be filled with God's Spirit, controlled by His Spirit. The word for debauchery literally means wastefulness due to excessive behavior and the consequences that come from it. We're talking about time. That's the context. We just read it. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Don't get drunk. Didn't say don't drink, and God has no problem saying what He means. If you can't drink without getting drunk, don't drink. Don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. You only got so much time. I can use it in washing away my troubles, numbing things, slurring my speech and having some fun, and then the next day paying for it. Or I can use it going to the Holy Spirit, who can actually deal with my troubles in a healthy way and help me become who I'm supposed to be, which is a whole person in Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on and it says this. Here's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Listen, church. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we're addressing one another in psalms and hymns. Are you crazy? No. If I'm filled with the Spirit, my goal is simply to point you to the Jesus that I'm following. That's what it, man, I just can't help but praise God because I'm filled with the Spirit. I am experiencing Him on a daily basis, and He is more than meeting my needs. And no matter what I've been through, He is good enough. No matter what I'm going to go through, I trust that He is good enough. He is powerful enough. He is enough. And when I know that and when I live that out, I can't help but point you to the same one and praise His name. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So giving thanks always. Lord, thank you. I've made it through the traffic. Lord, thank you. I had the time with my son. Lord, thank you. I got to see that 13 minutes of that show. Giving thanks always. And when it says for everything, it's for who God is in everything. Like, I don't give thanks that somebody's pet got killed. But Lord, thank you that you're good in spite of it. Thank you that you don't change no matter what else is going on. Submitting. Now watch this, because this is the same part, same thing, same passage. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, and that seems crazy. So don't be drunk. Be filled with the Spirit. Make the best use of the time. This is the will of the Lord. Submitting to one another out of reverence for what Christ has done. Here's what submitting is. Let me put your needs first, not mine. Out of reverence for Christ, out of respect for the fact that Christ died on a cross, took our sin upon Him, and every sin that had ever been committed, would be committed, was being committed, was placed upon Him. And He took it to the grave. And He rose again on the third day. And when your faith is in Him, that sin stays in the grave. He put our needs first. And then within the context of community, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're supposed to put others' needs first. That has to do, remember, the context is the use of time. And so the idea is this, let me use my time. It's really not mine, it's God's. I'm going to use my time to be filled with the Spirit so that I have something in me with which to encourage you in Christ. Did you catch that? Let me put aside, Lord knows I just need to blow off steam. I just really feel like, and everything else crowds out the Spirit, and I'm not worshiping, I'm not spending time, I'm not praying, I'm not. God says, be filled in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Follow after me, because when you do, you're blessing those around you. And when you don't, you're robbing them of what I want to do through you. Oh, hold my purse. Stuff just got real. That means I got to put aside, listen, don't miss this, church. I got to put aside private sins because they have community consequences. Did you catch that? Nobody knows. It's my own time. It's my own computer. Nobody's going to see. How does it hurt anybody else? Nobody knows. It's just a little white lie. Nobody knows. I'm just going to steal a little bit. Nobody knows. I'm just going to spend. Private sins have community consequences. Because if I'm not following God, I'm not filled with the Spirit. If I'm not filled with the Spirit, I got nothing to offer you. I can fake it and look good in front of you, but that's about me, not you. Submitting to one another, making the best use of time is Lord, I'm going to kill this for your glory, for the benefit of the people around me. And ask those who walk in community closest with you. Ask your close family. They can tell when you're walking with Jesus and when you're not. I cannot be filled with my world and God's Spirit at the same time. What I do in private affects whether I'm Spirit-led in public. And it is incredible. Listen, it's an amazing and incredible thing, and I don't want to freak you out, but it's an incredible thing to walk with Jesus and have that little inner voice, and you're so attuned to Him, and you're so filled with the Spirit that He says, hey, so-and-so needs a word. Go and encourage their heart today. Or, hey, man, you need to probably go and, hey, Brian, you need, why don't you, my son, why don't you go and give to this person? Why don't you go and help? You don't get that outside of God's Spirit living within you. And you're not filled with His Spirit if you're filled with something else. People need you to be filled with God's Spirit more than the Spirit of Fox, as amazing as they are, more than the Spirit of CNN and MSNBC, as incredible as they are, more than the... Pull my purse again, things are getting real. More than porn. More than bitterness and unforgiveness. More than drink, and I'm not saying it's wrong to drink. Please hear me. I'm not. More than I just got to have more money. People need you to be filled with God's Spirit because you're light and you're salt, and God wants to be glorified through you to the blessing of everyone around you. Right? The Bible says, we looked at this last week, as you wish that others would do to you, so do so to them. Don't you wish that people you walked around, people who knew Jesus, don't you wish that they would spend so much time with Christ that they can't help but encourage you in Christ? I love folks like that. Don't look for them. Be them. Man, we are obsessed, or we were, many of us, not everyone here, but many of us were obsessed with the Kavanaugh hearings. And before that, it was the border families and people being separated at the border. And before that, and I can go back and back and back, and it's always the next thing and the next thing, and it's a crisis, and oh my God, we're all going to die every time. We still standing. We still standing. If I'm obsessed with the things of this world, I'm not believing in the only hope for this world, and I'm neutering and giving that hope. I'm neutered. Time is a stewardship. You manage it and you redeem it to God's glory as one who owns nothing and is responsible to the one true owner. And so let's go to Colossians. This is the same idea, same guy writing. He says, walk in wisdom. There's that idea of wise again, toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. There you go again, best use of the time. That's wise. And then he goes on, and this is what he says next. Let your speech always be gracious. Idiot. Jerk. Can't believe you'd vote that way. Democrats. Republicans. Gracious. Seasoned with salt. So that you may know how you ought, how you're indebted to answer every person. Because Christ's speech towards you is gracious. So being wise, making the best use of the limited time you have, is demonstrated by one thing. How you talk to unbelievers. In this verse, how you talk to unbelievers, those who are outsiders. And guys, listen, we've been given a platform that is greater than anyone else in all of history before us have ever had. They could go to a marketplace. I don't know if they had 900 friends or however many friends you got on Facebook. And I get that not all of them will see, but enough will. You've got a platform. And you're salt and light. To whom much is given, much is required. You got a platform. Use it to His glory. Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. By the way, in my head I hear careless whisper. Just so you know, guilty feet, I've got no rhythm. Just so you know, got a song in my head. On the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, declared righteous. By your words you'll be condemned, declared unrighteous. And here's the point. Your words reveal the heart. The point isn't to change your words. The point is to say, Lord, what are my words? What is my communication? Facebook, verbally, whatever. What does my communication say about the condition of my heart? Okay, I don't need to just try to change my words. I need you, Lord, to change my heart. I need to be filled with your spirit. Something ain't going right in my spiritual life. If these are the words that are coming out of me and I'm disdaining people made in your image and I'm hating people who are politically different and something's going on in my heart and it ain't right. And just because a bunch of people will agree with me on Facebook don't make me right. Just makes them as wrong as me. Time is a stewardship and you manage it and redeem it to God's glory as one who owns nothing and is responsible to the true owner for what you do with it. So how can we be wise? How do we do this? Two things. We live in light of eternity and we remember the position we hold as beloved sons and daughters of the living God. Two things. Live in light of eternity and remember who we are. Teach us to number our days, Lord, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's living in light of eternity. I got so much time and then it's done. Light of eternity. Since then, we looked at this last week. It's important enough to look at it again. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. You've been resurrected and you're living in resurrection life with the Spirit living in you. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts. Place your affections, your primary affections on things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. You, Lord, you're my primary affections, my primary affection. Many things give pleasure, and they're not always wrong. Pleasure's good. God created it. Only you, Lord, satisfy. And so I will not seek those things as primary. I will seek you as primary. Everything else will fade and you remain. That's eternity. Everything else fades. My experiences, as much as I like them, they will fade. My purchases, as much as I enjoy them, they will fade. You remain. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds, your focus on things above, not on earthly things. For you die. You have died. You're not who you used to be. This is resurrection life. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So in light of eternity, in light of the brevity of life, and you only got so much time, your highest affections, your greatest focus should be on the things that matter most. Hey, it's nice to get a bunch of likes. It is. I love the thumbs up. That's a cool idea. I really like the hearts. That's cool. Sometimes just for fun, I like the angry faces. None of them matter. None of them. Jesus matters. Set your mind on eternal things, and it reminds you of what you can do something about and what you can't. This is eternal. Can I make a change in that? Then why am I obsessing over it? Why am I worried? Why am I concerned? I can't change culture, not really. I'd be willing to bet you, as upset as you were about whatever's going on at the border, separating families, if you were, I'd be willing to bet you that nothing you did made a difference. Not you alone. I know you've been told we're empowered and we can change it. Nah. I know you're upset about the Kavanaugh. I'd be willing to bet you had no bearing whatsoever in the way any senator voted. You know what you can do? You can point to Christ, who alone is the hope of the world. He changes lives. And when lives are changed, culture changes. And that's what you're called to do. Salt doesn't try to cover up something it doesn't like. It just makes people thirsty for something better. That's what you're called to do. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And some of us are stressed out and we're anxious and we're upset because we're trying to find our hope and our peace in things that were never designed to give us hope and peace. Here's the rest of it. You must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Why? Because it's a bad use of time and it points people away from Jesus. Live in light of eternity. Remember your position. Paul says we look to things that are, we look not to things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the unseen things are eternal. And so everything's passing away. There will be a day this theater isn't here. There will be a day Layman Church doesn't exist. There will be a day that everything is washed away. It will happen. Christ lives. He remains. God is good. What are you tying your hope to? I saw a picture during the hurricane recently. It was a big old boat tied to a dock. I mean, just anchored to it. And those ropes were strong and powerful. And that boat was secure all the way up until the point that the dock went floating off. Where are you anchoring your hope? By the way, the context of that is light and momentary afflictions. This is a guy who had the flesh ripped off his back. They stoned him and left him for dead. Got snake bit. Had people after him left and right. Light and momentary afflictions compared to the eternal weight of glory. Live in light of eternity, and then secondly, remember your position. We looked at this last week. I want to bring it back. It's that important. Therefore, we are, what's that word? Yeah, we're almost there. I hadn't done this with you for a while. What's that word? Yes, we represent one party on behalf of another, and so we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent for Jesus. God is making his appeal through us. We implore, we beg, we beseech. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, on behalf of Christ. Get it right with God. Be reconciled with God. Jesus died on the cross for you. That's our message. Your calling, listen, church, your calling involves eternities. And if you alienate half of your circle of influence for the sake of your politics and viewpoints, you miss what's most important. And can I tell you, I don't have this down. I struggle. I want to go on Facebook. I want to argue. That's the sin nature. I do. I want to tell you why I'm right and you're wrong and you're a fool. I do. What I'd rather do is say, hey, there's this God who loves you even if we're different politically. Even if you are wrong, I'll defend your right to be wrong and I'll introduce you to Jesus. See, that's where carrying a cross comes into play, because it isn't easy, and it is the giving up of my rights as an American, and this is what we're called to. I only have so much time. It's a stewardship, and life can end at any moment, so I need to make the most of it. So I remember eternity. I live in light of it. This life is brief, and I remember my position. I'm a beloved son and an ambassador sent out into the world. If you were saved to go to heaven, you'd be there, right? You're left down here for a reason. Otherwise, people go, Jesus, I place my faith in you and I trust you as my Lord and Savior. And I ask that you'd be my Savior. Poof, where'd Brian go? Came to know Jesus? Well, thank God he's gone. Now you're left here for a reason. And how you live and how you speak and how you use your time matters. What's your best use of time? You seek God in all things. As you plan for the way you use the time you have. By the way, that doesn't mean, well, it's all for Jesus, so he's coming. And we've seen this. We've seen the things where Jesus is coming back in March of yada, yada, yada because of some ancient Bible code, because I am a heretical jerk. And people follow the dude, right? And they'll quit working and they'll sell all their stuff or give it all away. And so that was happening at some point in the past. And so Paul will actually say, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. In other words, work. You got to work to do the stuff you do, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ. Doesn't mean sit at home and let people take care of you. Doesn't mean that. Proverbs has some pretty good stuff to say about that. Proverbs says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Not a good thing when God calling your names, just so you know. Consider her ways and be, there's that word again, be wise in how you use your time. Amen. Provide for your family if you can. If you can't, I understand. But if you can, don't expect them to provide you. You don't sit. Provide. You're supposed to. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. That's a use of time. But everyone who is hasty, I'll just jump, I got to do it now, comes only to poverty. I just want experiences. I don't want to work. And that is where we are culturally now, because it is a response to a whole generation of people who accumulated a lot of stuff. And so now I don't want stuff. I just want experiences. And let me tell you, both sides, it's no different. Same coin. We're still living for the world. Your experiences go back into the box just like all your stuff. And man, have experiences. Enjoy it. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is either one is the wrong focus. Lord, this is the time you have given me. What do you want me to do with it? There's your focus. And I got to promise you, I got to tell you, you need to know, in light of who he is, you'll have some amazing experiences if you put Christ first. You will. And you may get some cool stuff too. You just won't have it have you. You'll just own it. It won't own you. So how many of you woke up this morning thinking, this might be the last day of my life. This may be the day I take my last breath. I fall over and I'm gone. Probably none of us, because we don't think that way. And so maybe I tell my dad, I love you, tomorrow or the next day, because there's time. No, there's not. Did you consider today just how brief life is and what your contribution to the lives of others will be, because that's all that remains? What you build into others spiritually is all that remains, because they can pass that stuff down. We live in light of eternity. We live out of our position as God's beloved sons and daughters, and that's who we are. And by the way, we're in a temple location. Don't know if you noticed, this is not the old layman church. Just in case you were wondering, this is not it. We're determined to waste, to neither waste the time we have or our position within our culture, regardless of where we meet. I'm not going to be about your causes. I'm not going to do your politics. You're not going to do mine. We're going to do Jesus. He alone changes lives. That's all we're doing. And we'll grow while we're here. And when we move, Lord willing, we'll reach people there too. Let me stop here. I have to stop. Questions, comments, disagreements, and then we'll pray. Questions, comments, let me move up where I can see you.